I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm not asked.
Chocks away, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. Klopp and Guardiola face off once again in the thigh rubber. Warnock's off to Wembley and Steve Bruce had a cabbage thrown at him. All right, babes, how are we?
Fine, thanks, mate.
Donny?
Want a cabbage.
Jimmy?
You all right, hon?
Yeah.
You okay, hon?
Very well. Yeah. Very well indeed. We've had some scintillating Champions League action and Carabao Cup action as well since we last spoke to your good selves listeners. And I mean, where else to start than with Liverpool versus Manchester City this weekend? It is the game that we've all been waiting for this season. I think
that's right.
The two sides that people fancy the most for the league title, and of course, when Liverpool played Chelsea, it was a very good game indeed. And we were all thinking, Chelsea, get a load of them.
Yeah, we see what you're doing.
So, what narrative is gonna unravel after these two heavyweights, Peter, face off against each other? Klopp has 7 wins against Guardiola. Guardiola has 5 wins against Klopp.
Predict the future, Pete.
Mm-hmm. The match against Chelsea showed they could be got at, though.
Yes.
So,
and they're also going to be missing Naby Keita.
Yes.
This fixture provided a lot of entertainment last season.
It really did.
Two really good Premier League games, and of course the Champions League doubleheader as well.
Yeah. Dare I say ding dongs?
They were ding dongs, Jim. Mm-hmm. They were ding dongs. They were a clash of the titans.
Double D's, baby.
It was Godzilla v Mothra in the Premier League, wasn't it? Without question,
it was. Yeah, well, because and the reason why Klopp has 7 wins against Pepe G is because he knows how to play against him. Mm. They like to go straight for them like a knife through butter.
They do, but I mean, I know this. They didn't have Naby Keita last season, so it's potentially is irrelevant, but they are a bit more stodgy in midfield without him, aren't they? It certainly seems that way this season, which should you would think play into City's hands. If they can win that game in the middle, then they'll have a better chance than I think they of doing better than they did last season, I would wager.
Yes, and also Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain played his part.
Yes, absolutely.
In at least one or two of those fixtures. Scored a lovely goal, I remember. And obviously they don't have him. They need legs in the centre of the pitch.
And also Jordan Henderson hasn't started all of their games. I think he started 3 Premier League games and he's featured from the bench elsewhere. So he's going to be relied upon.
What do we think of Jordan? He got a bit of criticism after the Chelsea game from some sections. I was at
Spurs last night, so I didn't see the Liverpool game in its entirety. But Jim, you were saying something to me earlier about Henderson
I saw a stat which was really quite interesting and possibly damning, depending on where you sit. But Keita went off in, I think, the 19th minute, and Wijnaldum and Henderson were in the middle. And I think they played something like 15 forward passes between them during the rest of the whole game, which is just, when you're away from home trying to get something, it's just not enough, is it? It's too conservative. I think if you're recycling possession that much, when you're up against it, all you're really doing is just running the clock down for the opposition.
Yeah.
You're doing them a favour, really.
And that was one of the criticisms labelled at Henderson in the Chelsea game, that he wasn't playing the ball forward that much. Mm. Now he
did that for England in the summer, though. He did adopt that position in the summer. He played balls forward a lot more.
He did. I mean, his performance against Croatia was highlighted when he was put under pressure from some quality players.
Is that perhaps then instruction from Klopp? If he feels that that's a weakness of Henderson's game, maybe he's telling Klopp telling Henderson to sort of play around that, and
he's telling Klopp to tell Henderson.
Yeah. But you wonder. I sort of depart from you slightly, Jim, on the away from home Champions League thing, because they're going to Napoli. Napoli are a good team, and it was, from what I saw in the rerun or the highlights or whatever, because I didn't see the game live. You know, they're trying to maintain possession, right? There's nothing wrong with, I mean, Graham Sinise will say it, won't he? There's nothing wrong with getting the ball and passing it to your mate.
Nothing wrong with 2-footing someone waist high.
He meant that. Yeah. He didn't say that.
Nothing wrong with planting a flag in the middle of a centre circle in a really contentious game.
And then he shoved a flag in Jordan Henderson's belly button. sort of, and then hit Pogba with it.
Yeah, you definitely did that.
Yeah. So maybe we don't know the instructions given by the manager, but maybe they've lost a key player at an early stage in the game.
A difficult game to come into.
Exactly. And maybe Klopp just said, look, the other people's responsibility, the driving forward of people like Mane, Firmino and Salah, and to a lesser extent, but an extent nonetheless, Milner and Wijnaldum, you just keep the ball and give it to the nearest person to you, and we'll keep recycling possession that way. And they're in the game to the last minute.
Yeah,
and a point in Napoli would have been okay, wouldn't it?
It would have been okay, but you would expect Henderson to start this match because Keita, I think at the time of recording, it looks like he'll be out. Fabinho is taking a little while to settle in, which is understandable, and Klopp has said that and is dealing with that. But Klopp came to Henderson's defence recently and said that he's Liverpool's general and that he trusts him completely. I mean, he's been a very handy player. I was surprised at some of the criticism he got, but then
same.
I suppose some of those Liverpool fans will probably watch Liverpool more keenly and eagerly than perhaps I would.
But I mean, every team has this though, doesn't it? Like Aaron Ramsey gets a lot of stick for Arsenal, and everyone here will have an equivalent of that around the table. It's just the nature of Twitter, isn't it? You know, it's just because a lot of people are shouting about that doesn't mean it necessarily represents how every Liverpool fan feels about Henderson.
Sure.
Klopp started Milner, Henderson and Wijnaldum, I think, at home to Southampton. Now, I know Man City are a different proposition. So
Milner's got to play. He's brilliant, isn't he?
Milner's definitely got to play, I think. I think so, yeah. It'll be a great game. The entertainment we got last time, remember the 5-0er?
The 4-3.
Mane was sent off, and then obviously Liverpool beat them at Anfield in January, and then Liverpool did a number on them in the Champions League. And we said on this show, as soon as Man City were drawn against Liverpool in the Champions League last season, we said, perfect draw for Liverpool, nightmare draw for Man City. And so it came to pass. So not great for them that Keita's been stretched off and looks like he's going to be out. But Liverpool have got a deeper squad this season, and they're going to, at some point in the season at least, going to be called upon to use it. And now it looks like it's going to be the occasion, yeah.
This is it, yeah. I mean, Man City, they got a good away win at Hoffenheim on Tuesday, and Pep said it was crucial they didn't lose this one, having lost to Leon.
Well, it was a hard-fought win, wasn't it?
It was a hard fight, and they went down 1-0 down very early on. They pegged them back, of course, and then I forget which Hoffenheim player it was. He gifted David Silva, didn't he? It's like, that's the last thing you want if
you're
a defender.
He was just caught napping, wasn't he?
Yeah. If you lose the ball and you just see David Silva just nick it off you, you just think, oh, balls. Mm.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that Man City away kit.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
It
looks quite South American. It's the sash. Obviously, it makes anything seem slightly South American. But
sure.
Or mayoral.
I'm into it. Or mayoral, yeah. Mm. We are the mayors of football.
You have won the lovely lady competition.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, but it's going to be a good one. This is going to be the thigh rubber. Surely it is. How do we honestly think it'll go? Because, as I say, Liverpool, they equipped themselves well against Manchester City last season, and it was only that 5-0 win when Mane was sent off early on.
Mm.
But then, you know, losing Keita.
Can I wait until Luke does the betting before I decide?
Sure.
Well, because those people know their onions.
All right, then. What have you got, Luke?
The draw is 13-5 with Bet365. £10 returns, £36, including stakes, should they duke out a stalemate.
Not helpful at the time.
No, I know.
For me to go one way or the other. Thank
that's
you, Luke.
Partly why I did that.
Yeah, if anything, you've just reinforced the fence there, haven't you?
I think you could probably make an argument that and clearly there's an element here if you're looking for things you want to find.
Mm-hmm.
But when Man City went to Wolves and went toe-to-toe with them, Wolves were able to get a bit of joy.
Mm.
And Liverpool are a better team than Wolves. And Liverpool have also had joy against Man City in the past. And Klopp's got a good record.
Yeah.
Keita is a miss. I probably would lean towards Liverpool, but I'm not in the trade of picking results and predicting them. So I'll just enjoy the match.
Yeah,
I do think this Liverpool are probably the one team you look at coming up against City because of Klopp's record and obviously because of how the games went last season, where you would think City aren't necessarily favourites. Anyone else, you're always going to back Man City. Probably even against Chelsea, you think, it's City's to lose. A bit different with Liverpool, which I think is really interesting.
Sure. I mean, the good thing for Liverpool is that the start they've had has been so good that even if they do lose this game, it's obviously you don't want to lose a game for crying out loud, especially to one of your rivals for the title. Yeah. But it's not a disaster.
I don't know, though. I think psychologically that
would be a big
blow. That's
maybe what Klopp will say before.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry. It's not a disaster.
This one's a free one. Anything against City is a bonus.
Did you see that it was announced today that Manchester City, their team bus, will take a different route to Anfield because obviously they got peppered when they went to Anfield in the Champions League. And I thought, why have you told everyone that?
Yeah. There's only three or four kind of ways to go, isn't there, really?
It was quite strange that nothing, as far as I know, nothing came out of that. I don't think any charges were brought.
I can't remember if they were or not.
I don't think they were in the end.
Were they not?
And I don't think so. And I might be wrong. I'm sort of semi-certain that they weren't.
Was that the Dark Fruits bottle going towards the bus?
I think it was, with all the flares and the red smoke and stuff. And I've seen Man City fans who I know say, that's ridiculous because that obviously affected Man City.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, and you shouldn't really be able to get away with it. I don't know. Look, I might be wrong. Maybe there were charges brought, but I don't remember that there were.
Have they considered doing the Fortnite bus and just sort of floating in?
I don't know what that means. We're all in late 30s. So,
The Fortnite bus.
Yeah, move on.
So, all right. It's a game.
I tell you what, literally
everyone in the world will be screaming at their
Pete, can I just
device.
Say, I know what Fortnite is when Marcus doesn't, but I don't know what the Fortnite bus is.
I'm flossing constantly through this show.
It's a game. It's
I realise that because Pete said it.
Dele Alli likes it.
Really. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Don't be rude.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Perhaps they could use the Harry Potter night bus.
Yes.
Hello, fellow kids.
Jim, favourite bus? No?
Okay. No.
Let's move on then to Spurs versus Cardiff. Spurs were beaten 4-2 by Barcelona and Lionel Messi. And he was sublime once again. Luke Moore witnessed this.
I was at the game,
in the magnificent Wembley Stadium.
The home of football.
The home of football. Yeah. And for 90 minutes, it was the home of Lionel Messi, the way he strode around the pitch.
Yeah, it was an incredible performance. Like, amazing to watch him in the flesh for the first time. What are you laughing at?
In a very, very lovely and sort of good way, you're genuinely, you've watched football for years and you've been to many stadiums and games, blah, blah, blah. And yet, it really took your breath away.
Oh, yeah. It was an absolute, I mean, it's by far the best individual performance I've ever seen. Anyone in the flesh,
uh-huh.
And I've shared a picture with Marcus Speller
a few times, but also as well, we know what Messi's capable of, obviously, and all the records.
The defense didn't appear to. didn't do a lot of man marking.
You say that, but the reality of the situation is that Spurs do deserve a bit of credit, one for their tenacity, one for actually going for it, and also another one which makes three in total
for letting you in the stadium.
Yeah, is that they. They held on when they could have been. I mean, Barcelona could have been out of sight. They also had a lot of injuries. I mean, there's no way they would have chosen to start that game with Winks and Wanyama in the middle and you know, the players that they were missing that we all know about. But, you know, this is a player who reduces other quality players, other Champions League players, standard players, whether he's playing with them or against them, to essentially supporting artists in the movie of his game, because he is basically the main part, the writer, the director, the screen, the cinematographer. He's everything.
Key grip.
And everything.
Certainly the best boy.
And at some point you're seeing. I said earlier, at some point it's a mismatch against other Champions League quality players. That's how good he is.
Yeah.
You see someone like and there was one point where Harry Winks battled all the way back and caught up with him and nicked the ball off him. And that was a real highlight.
And then played it up.
I think
Kane lost the goal. Yeah, you're like, oh, that's annoying. Yeah. That could have been better.
If he wasn't club captain, I'd have a go at him for that. but it's like you're seeing someone like Wanyama up against him. Like I said to you earlier, it was like watching an anteater with boxing gloves on trying to unshoelace an ant. I mean, he's just not got the tools for the job at hand. And
that's not a dig.
No, not at all, because he's a good player.
Yeah.
But if that is a player on the wane, then it beggars belief how good he is, because he's the best player on the best passer of the ball on the pitch. Mm-hmm. He's the best passer of the ball at Barcelona. Yet no one talks about him. No one's going to say in 50 years' time, what was Lionel Messi like? Oh, he was a great passer of the ball. But he is. His weight of pass, he'll put the ball on the foot of the player to suit them. He'll time the pass perfectly. His appreciation of space. Now, I know I'm talking like I've just discovered Lionel Messi.
Like Eddie Argos from Art Brut in the song where he goes to an art gallery and he just wants to rock out because he's so excited by all the art.
Oh, it's exciting.
No, but I think that was my point a few minutes ago. That we know Messi. You know, we've seen him countless times do wonderful, wonderful things. And yet, you know, obviously you saw him, so it had a bigger impact. And yet, here is a player we've talked about so much, so much was written, and yet you still cannot keep in the praise for this guy.
No, and you look around you in the stadium, and he'll score. I mean, it was a period of a passage of play which people would have seen if they watched the game, where he broke through, cut inside, beat whoever he beat, and smashed the ball off the post. Then 2 minutes later, he did exactly the same move again and hit the same part of the post again. And at that point, he hadn't scored at that point, I don't think. But at that point, people around me are just looking around going, well, you know.
Yeah.
What? It's not like, no one was shouting.
They're not annoyed. They're like,
no one was shouting like you would normally expect at a football match. Yeah, pick him up, mark him. Yeah, you can't let him do that.
Go through the back of him.
Everyone knows you can't let him do that.
Yeah.
But no one can stop him.
That's right.
That's right.
This is it, isn't it? I mean, because for both of his goals, he was essentially unmarked in the box. But you don't begrudge Spurs that, because Barcelona as a team pull you apart so much. Mm. And obviously, he uses that space just so, so well. And one of the really interesting things about Messi, the first goal is evidence of this. Like, sometimes his goals look like tap-ins, but actually, when you see them in slow motion, there's so much for him to do to hit the part of the net that he aims at. And he seems to do it every single time. Even the simple stuff he does, or seemingly simple stuff he does, he's done with such finesse.
When he gave the keeper the eyes and just slotted home, you're like, the keeper may as well just walked off. Right. Yeah. No, we know how
he did
ends.
At one point.
Yeah, he did for the first game.
I think, you know, I've seen Lionel Messi dominate my own team so many times, and Barcelona do the same as well. And when you're invested in a game, obviously you feel it a lot more, and it's watching Barcelona play your team is exhausting. It is exhausting. Like, it's like they run you ragged emotionally.
Even,
so what it must
even
be like
2018
to be on the
Barcelona
pitch.
At that. You know, yeah. They're a very different side to what they used to. They've not been able to replace in the same positions as I think they probably would have wanted to. But if you've got a player like Lionel Messi to change the game like that.
It's the style that they implement as well, isn't it?
And bottom line, it was a fantastic football match for you to choose to go and watch it, wasn't it? I mean, it was great.
And he was floating around the pitch like the Fortnite bus, I thought. But Spurs gave it a good go.
I'm a PUBG man. Oh,
they do deserve credit because of what happened against Inter, they felt like, look, we probably need to try and get something here.
Yeah.
They had beaten Real Madrid last season in the Champions League at home. Of course, they had players missing, which was a big blow for them. I appreciated their tenacity. I thought they battled really hard. I thought they did really well to stay in the game as long as they did. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, it only became 4-2 with a couple of minutes left, and 3-2, they were still in the game. They had chances.
I think that shows the character of that side.
Definitely.
Because they are getting bossed around, which you've talked about.
But I wondered if they needed...
But they were still in the game.
But I wonder if they need... On the flip side to that, I don't want to be too critical, because they're coming up against a guy who, you know, who is the, you know, my eyes, the best player that's ever played the game, and it's not even close based on evidence last night. But I wondered when I was watching the game whether Spurs needed to show a bit more humility. They needed to sort of, at least for the first 25, 30 minutes. And it was difficult because the way that Lloris made that error very early on, they were a goal down.
Well,
so I understand
Pochettino
that. So maybe they did try and do that, or they were planning to do that. But I think there was an element where you think, okay, this isn't Fulham at home. Mm-hmm. This isn't even Huddersfield away or whatever. You're not the better team here. And you need to just try and stay in the game as long as you can before you then. But then they weren't given the opportunity to do that. So that was a bit of a shame. Obviously, they played Cardiff this weekend, who are in a terrible state, and they've really struggled. So you'd fancy them to bounce back here. I would have liked to have seen them have a go at it with their full strength team. I still think they would have been beaten, but it might have even been a better game than we saw, which would have been incredible.
Do you think that, obviously not this season, but, you know, if Pochettino sticks around, which you imagine he would, and Spurs are building, you know, they've got the new stadium and all that kind of stuff to come, Lloris has a mistake in him and he's made a few. Do you think perhaps maybe in the summer Spurs will look to replace? I know he's still a very good goalkeeper, but
I think they have to replace him. I think they do.
Because I think this will divide opinion, because it's interesting you say that, and then whereas Jim and Pete, I'm guessing the looks on your faces
are suggesting... I'm very much a Lloris fan.
I like him, but I mean, you can't deny those mistakes are there. They keep happening. They're not going to go away at this point in his career.
And really quite bad ones. I mean,
it costs them.
Yeah. I mean, even in the World Cup final, for crying out loud, you know, a real bad one. And that is as well. And
I think he was a pioneer of that sweeper keeper... job.
He's been a great servant for the club and all that, and he still is a very good goalkeeper. But
people give Manuel Neuer all the credit for that sort of development of the goalkeeping position, and I understand why. Lloris was a part of that, and he's been brilliant over the years, and he's definitely always had an error in him. And I think what we can agree on now, at least, is that he's not an improving goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. He's not a goalkeeper who's going to get better.
Is he 31? I think.
And Jim's right in what he says, that those errors are probably always going to be there. So, but again, it depends. You can't just sort of say, yeah, they should get rid of him, because that's only half the problem. You've got to find someone to replace him. I don't know why, by the way, on that note, I don't know why Gazzaniga isn't their second choice goalkeeper, because Michel Vorm's not going to get any better. Mm. For me, Gazzaniga's a better goalkeeper than him anyway. I don't know why he's not playing second fiddle and playing in these I know he is now because Vorm's injured, but isn't playing in these cup games and different games here and there.
Well, because of that injury, you'd expect the balance to be...
Well, I hope so. Because Vorm's old, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, look, I think Spurs will obviously... you'd fancy them to beat Cardiff. They're 33-1 to win the Premier League this year. That might be a bit beyond them, but 33-1 with Bet365. £10 will return £340, including stake, should they do it for the first time ever, the Premier League, that
is. It will be lovely to see Neil Warnock at Wembley. What will he be wearing?
A tracksuit.
A smile.
One of his many tracks.
Probably
it's
a big
like Men
smile.
In Black.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Oh, it's a lovely day out.
Yeah.
It's a very repetitive wardrobe, but it works.
It
for
could
me.
Have been worse. I could have been hit with a cabbage.
More of that a little later.
Yeah. A nutritious cabbage. It's a lovely bit of vegetable.
Boil it, cook it, stick it in a stew.
Would you, if you were a manager and you were playing Spurs in a league game at Wembley, would you think, but it is Wembley, and you dust off the suit?
Home of football.
I think it could well be his last chance to do that.
Well, go full Space Boys.
I don't know. I think I'd like to see Warnock in the suit, actually.
You've got that little glint in your
eye. I haven't got any glint in any
you
eye.
You are. Sometimes you've got a little glint in your eye. Yeah. And you start speaking as if you're narrating a Bisto advert. Yeah. And you seem to think that for some reason that means your opinion holds more weight.
Look in the middle distance.
A pants advert or a Bisto one. Yeah. You cajoled me into trying to say, Cardiff might get a
and
result.
I'd do it again.
Actually, going back to Spurs, somebody pointed out that obviously Spurs went big on those tube adverts saying the only place to see Champions League football in London will be the new Spurs ground.
Yep.
The Spurs ground isn't ready yet.
No.
They may very well already be the Europa League by the time the stadium.
That's a good point.
I imagine there are Arsenal and Chelsea fans everywhere with a photo of that advert on their phones, ready, ready to go. I imagine one of them might be in this room.
I will be in about 20 minutes.
Yeah. Change the password. Change the football ramble password.
For the record, I want them to scrape through and get smashed by Bayern.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, after the break, we're going to be talking about Manchester United and Newcastle United.
Oh.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Fans are shouting every week, Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army!
Always worth revisiting. do the fans still sing that? Because I think Louis thinks they do.
What a dig that would be if they started singing Louis van Gaal's army at Jose Mourinho.
That would be the most colossal dig you can think
It'd
of.
It'd be brilliant.
You need to get the clip where he calls Neil Custis the fat man.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Custis has been on form recently, hasn't he?
Come on.
Wow.
He's looking forward to having a dry January and a calm February.
Calm February.
Yeah.
How about that?
Pete, have you ever had a calm February?
No.
Simple as that.
I'm a wild man.
Yeah.
wild man of Soho.
Do you mean... Are you unfamiliar with Calm February and what it stands for, though?
No.
The campaign for living...
Oh, is that what Neil Custis meant?
I think so, yeah.
No, I think he just meant... He didn't capitalise it or put a link in it. He just sort of meant, I'm going to take it easy.
I think HTML hyperlinks are a little bit beyond Neil Custis.
Ask Will I Am.
We will indeed. Manchester United, they drew at home with Valencia 0-0. Clean sheet there. Mourinho said
it's a platform.
Yeah, indeed.
Mourinho said it's another platform. And if you put all these platforms together, at some point we'll finish about fifth.
We'll have a staircase.
Yeah.
Mourinho said his team lacked the technical quality to build from the back. Make what you will of that. But this is quite amusing. Manchester United were charged by UEFA for turning up late for their match against Valencia. Kickoff was delayed by 5 minutes. The team coach was apparently delayed in traffic from the Lowry Hotel, which is where Mourinho lives. Where
Mourinho couldn't find his key card. For crying out, I can't find my key card. I've got to hand that in.
Stumbled out of the lobby with little mini mouthwashes pulling out of his pocket.
Well, he blamed... couldn't put his trouser press back together.
Yeah, didn't have enough change for the vending machine.
The executive lift wasn't working.
Yeah.
He blamed the police because they were refused a police escort, apparently.
I mean, he's blaming everyone.
The police responded by saying, no, we never refused one. We change our policing policies and whatnot. And this was deemed not...
Greater Manchester Police completely refuted the claim. They said...
Exactly.
I mean, the story is Mourinho claimed last night that United arrived late at Old Trafford because the expected police escort didn't materialise. But Greater Manchester Police said there was no such arrangement in place and clubs are given, in quotes, adequate time to plan ahead.
If you're apparently this was known months in advance.
He's just writing to the director of football.
And he's having a dig at the local police.
If you're getting you're getting your bus rolled over by, you know, in your own city, I think that sounds, you know, you've got to ask questions of yourself, I think.
I don't think it was rolled over, Pete.
No, but just, no, but that's what they would be planning.
People on the way in from work, mate.
Yeah, I know, that's what I mean. So if you're upset about it, If you're anticipating getting abuse from your own city, maybe look at your own.
Well, there was another club in Manchester.
Well,
yeah, but they weren't going via the Etihad, though,
weren't they? That, I thought that's why they were delayed.
You go via Anfield and all different route.
What did Antonio Valencia say about it?
I should say that Valencia were also charged for the late kickoffs. Both teams were late leaving the dressing rooms. What are Valencia doing?
God. Fines everywhere.
My goodness, yeah. But there we are. But Antonio Valencia, he had to apologise for liking an Instagram post which said Mourinho should be sacked. He said he liked the post without reading the text.
We've all done that.
But that's fine to say that, but don't say that in the same week that you've already had a public bust-up with the manager.
Yeah.
Which I know doesn't narrow it down, because that's every part of me at some point.
I scrolled down, was it Jose Mourinho's Instagram post, and I got the one with, in the bikini.
Yeah,
and I accidentally double clicked it.
Antonio Valencia, I was skulking his Instagram, and I found the post from like 3 years ago, and I accidentally double tapped it.
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
So that's all happening there. And Paul, this is I think was one of my favourites. Paul Pogba said in the mix zone after the match that he was not allowed to talk to the press.
See, that's a really interesting one, because if that is the case, which presumably he is, this still sounds like a dig.
But of course, it's a dig. Game.
Exactly. Like, he's gone to talk to the press to tell him how he's not allowed to talk to the press.
Exactly.
Bob mugging off Jose Mourinho.
Exactly. Because had they said a few words, he could have walked past. If you've ever been in a mix zone, players just walk out and some just breeze past
and he could go,
no, not today or whatever. But to walk past him, we'll go, I'm not allowed to talk to you. Yeah. Lol. And then walk off.
My mum says I'm not allowed to hang out with you.
Yeah. If I was,
this is what I would say.
Yeah.
Zidane in.
Exactly.
He's back with a moustache.
Hello, I'm Stephen Pogba, Paul Pogba's brother. I'm having a terrible time with Jose Mourinho and I want him to leave the club, his eyes seem to say.
I'm not allowed to talk at the moment, the manager will kill me, but I have actually drawn this picture.
I've written slave on my face.
Is that Jose Mourinho as the manager of Macclesfield? Yes, it is.
Indeed it is. Mauro and Fellaini did say that everyone was behind the manager. Bless him.
Yeah. We're literally behind him with a knife out.
Well, Mauro and Fellaini can't believe he plays for Man United, so I'm sure he's delighted.
He wants him to stay.
If Mauro Fellaini is behind anyone, you can always see Mauro Fellaini.
It's like a mushroom cloud in the background.
It's not that scene in Blackadder. The players are very much behind the manager. Yes, about 35 miles behind them.
Well, it seems like a relevant question again. How much longer will Mourinho be?
But why have you got to sort of choose one side? Like, you either choose Woodward or you choose him. You go, just get rid of them both. Just get rid of the whole thing.
Get rid of the whole lot. Because if Mourinho was to go, then there's talk of Zidane. And Antonio Conte got a credible mention recently. And I think
that's the link with Beppe Marotta, isn't it?
It is that link. So you think, oh, that would make sense. Or do they go for somebody who knows the club well, an ex-player, somebody like that? Because I believe Steve Bruce is available.
Oh, there we go, Jim. Moment. Don't interrupt. It's all a ruse for a link.
There we go.
That's all it is.
It's a long ruse, though.
Yeah, he's had an awful week, hasn't he?
From the
sheer sort of, what would you call it? Getting a cabbage thrown at you. That's a new one. We don't want to see people getting...
Well, we heard details of this cabbage.
Go
apparently
on.
It was very heavy and would have done some damage.
Oh, yeah.
Jim, I'm telling you now...
It's a cabbage.
It's a disgrace.
I'm telling you now, if you were to pick... If someone said to you, look, at some point in the future... Without you telling you, someone's going to throw a vegetable at you, but you can choose the vegetable.
Not having
cabbage.
Pak choy is my limit.
Cabbage is the bottom. It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's bulky.
What about... Choy. I don't know.
I guess it depends like where it's
thrown
things.
From, doesn't it?
Peas.
Peas.
One pea.
What about a sweet potato?
That's quiet. Hard.
You don't want that.
Jim, come on. No, I'll say yeah,
maybe butternut squash would maybe be worse.
It's unwieldy though, isn't it?
It's got no give.
A sweet potato is a tuber.
Not it's a what?
It's a tuber, not a vegetable.
Does it not count as a vegetable?
I don't think so. A potato definitely doesn't.
Mushroom.
It's a fungi, isn't it?
Ah, it's in the same
Let's
bit.
Let's talk legumes.
If someone says to you, hang on a minute, if someone says, oh, you're having roast beef and veg, and someone serves you up a mushroom, that's not a vegetable, is it?
Near enough, isn't it?
It's in the wheelhouse, found in the ground, fuck you.
You could...
you could argue it was a weird stake. Found in the ground.
Found in the ground.
Is that why you're not a waiter, Pete? Imagine that. I'm sorry, but I've got a mushroom here. It's found in the ground.
I'm highly allergic to get out. Get out of my restaurant.
You're a man who spent enough time in kebab houses to definitely have cabbage thrown at you before.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's very undignified, isn't it?
But I do want to, if you don't mind, I do want to spare a thought for
Stevie
Bruce.
Bruce.
Because he's lost his job. You know, he came in at Aston Villa when they're in a bit of a shit state, to be fair.
Yeah. Mm.
He came very close to getting to the Premier League. Got to the playoff final, obviously, with beaten by Fulham. It was not on penalties, was it?
No, it was a lovely Tom Kearney goal.
That's right. Obviously lost his mother and his father in quick succession. Had a really, really tough time. So I do feel for him. He does deserve a little bit of sympathy and a little bit of empathy, I think, as well.
Yeah.
And the guy, and all the joking aside, that guy who comes in and throws anything at a manager in a football match
is a
fucking idiot. Well, the guy said,
I think it was a relatively old guy as well. Apparently he shouted, "This is what you've reduced this club to," which is just absurd.
It doesn't make any sense.
Absolutely absurd.
It doesn't make any sense. And also, the thing about that, Jim, is he's planned that. If you're someone who's got
you shopping with you?
Was he not taking that for a snack? And he thought, actually, it's quite handy.
He's probably ruined his bed sheets already. He's dabbing them with things.
Yeah. But you can... Look, people get frustrated at football matches, and the amount they care about the game and about their team is a key part of why the sport is so popular, and we all understand that. So, you know, there was that guy who jumped on and chucked his season ticket on the floor when McLaren was in charge, I think at Middlesbrough, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
that's happened to a few teams.
There's a sliding scale of how serious these things are.
Mm.
And I think if you're going to chuck your part on the floor and stamp on your programme and walk out, you know, obviously that's perfectly fine. If you start throwing things at players or managers, or like that guy last season who had his baby in his hand that was trying to punch Everton players, people just go over the top. It is funny because it's a cabbage, but it's still disrespectful and it's horrendous behaviour, and that guy should face a ban without question.
Oh, absolutely.
Indeed.
At least pickle the cabbage.
At least pickle.
More tasty. Oh,
delicious. Bit of kimchi.
Indeed, But Steve Bruce was the man that Ian Holloway thought should have taken over at Manchester United. When Jose Mourinho, I think, got the job.
Holloway's out of a job now. He could be at Villa.
Yeah,
there you might see.
He was on Soccer AM a couple of weeks ago. Still find it.
Managerial merry-go-round. But Manchester United are playing Newcastle United, which could be just the tonic. Mike Ashley and the Newcastle players, along with Rafa Benitez, went to an Italian restaurant this week to build bridges. Ashley was paying, and they reportedly arrived at 6:45, still in time for the £5.95 happy hour moment.
Where'd you get this stuff from, Marco?
Yeah. Just the papers.
There was a shot of a load of Newcastle fans sort of giving him pelters as he gets into his taxi, and he did that sort of Peter Kay kind of two fingers up kind of thing.
Who, Ashley did?
Yeah, Ashley, as he was leaving. Yeah.
Pathetic.
Really pathetic.
Absolutely pathetic. Newcastle, it was big ask for them to win at Old Trafford despite Man United's problems. 8-1 with Bet365. £10 returns, £90, including stakes, should they win.
Mm, there's talk. I mean, I don't know where these rumours come from, but there is talk that if United slip up here, Man United, this could be the end for Mourinho. And imagine Rafa.
I know, I did think
in.
That.
Imagine
I did think that. I think that's something that we'd all like to see Newcastle United win.
To be
this
honest, I don't know why Manchester United are looking at Rafa Benitez to steady that ship, to sort out that defence.
Imagine that.
Amazing.
Benitez following
all
on.
Hate
I know.
Yeah. Chelsea worked at Chelsea, won the Europa League.
Exactly.
We defended Rafa, I think, was it on Monday, saying that Newcastle had a tough start and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But one thing that doesn't look great for him is Mitro doing so well and Dwight Gale doing so well and his team really struggling badly to score.
Dwight Gale is doing well in the Championship, and Mitrovic played season and a half with Benitez and had a completely different situation. So, you know, you've got to build your forward line around Mitrovic.
Why doesn't Benitez do that? Because there is no forward line to speak
of. He got sent off a couple of times. He's a hold-up guy, but he needs more support. You need to find yourself in further up the field when you play with Mitrovic. You need about two or three shots to get a goal in for Mitrovic, and he'll get that at Fulham because they are good at creating and carving out chances for him.
Well, if he carries on like this, he could be the new Alan Shearer, mate.
He could be the new Alan Shearer.
New Brian McBride, I've told you.
Pete, what would the reaction be if Mitro gets a goal against Newcastle?
I think they'd very strange Mitrovic's name.
I think Mitrovic will breathe fire in celebration. It will be amazing.
No, I think Mitrovic enjoyed his time at Newcastle.
Marcus, you're getting a wistful.
Sometimes it doesn't work out.
Well, no, I think Pete has a fair point. I think with Benitez's system and style, he's very conservative, especially in the bigger games, and that served Newcastle well last season.
You can't play his system and then have someone who's a little bit unpredictable who could get sent off. We've already got Shelby on the side, so
I was going to say, but I think at Fulham he does get a lot more chances, even though Fulham are not as defensively robust or organised as Newcastle. But they should never have sold him because he's getting the goals in the Premier League.
The problem isn't selling him; it was not spending the fucking money.
Yes,
As per, but he's bought them all dinner though.
He has bought them all dinner. That is true. He has bought them all dinner.
Did he leave a tip? I'll give you a tip, Ashley. Right.
I'll have the table next to the fireplace, please.
Apparently Ashley and Benitez have only met in person four times or four or five times.
Yeah, he's a busy man, isn't he?
Ashley hasn't been at a game for about 18 months, has he? Until the weekend just gone.
And the Palace and the Palace away and then this one, yeah. Mm. It's a strange old situation.
It sure
it's
is,
like
it?
The club's not run very well. Southampton are playing Chelsea. The Saints beat Everton on penalties to progress in the League Cup. Danny Ings on the score sheet again. Quite liked it after 90 minutes, straight to pens.
Yeah, I enjoy that. Yeah. A delicious miss from Richarlison as well.
People were talking about this.
Sort of like dinky tiptoed run up and then you miss it. Don't look great.
Shame, a player of his calibre. I thought he was going to smash
it's
it
a
home.
Load of rubbish. It really was. A proper, like, curved kind of like. I don't know why they didn't retake it or, you know, give something because he does stop, doesn't he?
No, because he missed. If he's a scored, you could maybe argue, but he missed and it's kind of like.
Imagine if they're
not going to
retake
that. Yeah. that run up is a funny one because we saw. Zaza do it for Italy in Euro 2016.
Pogba does it, doesn't he? Bit of that.
Pogba does it as well, but Pogba seems to do it more successfully. it's funny, though, how that run-up suddenly is quite infectious.
I'd be interested to know, because you know we talked on this show quite a bit about how everything's in favour of the penalty taker, so you don't need to bring variables into it to make it harder for yourself. Mm-hmm. But thinking about it, goalkeepers are brilliant now. They're brilliant, you know. And a lot of penalties are missed. I mean, someone like Lionel Messi's penalty record isn't that great. So, are penalties getting harder to score? Genuinely, though. We laughed at Keys.
Yes.
We laughed at Keys.
And we still do.
But is it because the players need to find another way? They feel now they do need to trick the goalkeepers because they're so good.
I think they need to
become
stop
everything
taking,
you hate.
Don't
it's
take
too
leaves,
late for that.
Don't take leaves out of Richard Keys's book.
You're a fine one to talk.
I am indeed. That's why the microphone's in front of me. But yes, now Ross Barkley was speaking very highly of Sarri, the manager, in the press this week, saying he prefers playing in a midfield three and that he's getting the right kind of coaching to kick on with his career.
Yeah, he also said that he's generally not received much coaching throughout his career, which is interesting. I think this would be a symptom of the fact that he broke through quite young because he was saying effectively when you're being developed as a young player, you are coached in a quite forensic way. But once you're into a team who are playing all the time and you know, looking ahead to the next game in pretty much every session, then that falls by the wayside a little bit because you're focused more on the games coming
they
up.
They expect
which is
a
very,
certain
very
level anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but I guess at the top clubs, which is what Barkley's saying, is that you effectively get both of that. More time is made for that. And that's surprising to me that there's that much of a drop-off. I mean, it makes sense that the more elite clubs would do everything to a higher level.
Well, it's a very short-termist kind of thing. We've only got you for a couple of years before you sort off somewhere else, so why should we bother teach you anything? If you're not good enough now, you're not in the team.
I'm also like, I mean, he obviously loves Surrey, and there was lots of talk pre-season that Surrey really liked him.
Mm.
Yet, he's not in their best team because Sarri will play.
But he's playing more.
Jorginho, Kovacic and Conte.
Yeah, but he is playing.
Sure, because they've got different competition to play. And I'm not suggesting he's not a good player because of that.
I think he's already played more minutes this season than he did in the, when did it, whenever he signed for them.
It wouldn't be difficult, would it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, so yeah. So he's feeling much more
I think he's
encouraged.
Only started two Premier League games.
Yeah, he's been coming off the bench quite a lot. And when he has played, he's looked really good.
So my question merely is that because I don't know if Chelsea have been a bit cute here. They put this stuff out that Sarri loves Barkley. They know they've been criticised a lot for people like Loftus-Cheek and for players not playing, English players, blah, blah, blah. So they cleverly put this thing out saying, oh, Barkley loves being here and we love Barkley. Barkley doesn't actually play that much.
Mm.
Comes off the bench, plays in League Cup, blah, blah, blah. And yet no one's saying, oh, it's a tragedy that a player like Ross Barkley, who should be in the English squad, is nowhere near it because he's never playing. I just wonder if they're being a bit cute.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I would say yes.
Yes. Perhaps they
are. Has Detective Moore solved the case?
It appears that way.
No further questions, Your Honor. Arrest it.
Mm. Yeah, you do indeed. I mean, he wants to get back in the England squad, does Ross Barkley.
Talking of England, Gareth Southgate, contract extension.
People were up in arms about that, weren't they?
Were they? Why?
People were saying, he shouldn't do it
Sam.
For that long term. Yeah, Big Sam. Sam Adams was saying, this is bullshit. But give me some more wine, this is bullshit. But I think Southgate, we're going to see an England squad this afternoon announced, aren't we?
Yeah.
We'll wait and see what happens there. But I think he's earned the right to get. He didn't bring football home, but he brought it, you know, just the other side of the ball.
He bought a ticket.
Well, the point is long-termism, right? And that's what he's preached the whole time. So.
Dirty word.
Well, Marcus, you're the designated England correspondent. Yeah. What do you think about it?
I think it's a good move.
Yeah?
Yeah?
You do?
Yeah, I do. Of course I do. Yeah, Southgate is the only England manager since goodness knows when who is actually trying to change
the culture.
The culture, as we talked about before. Mm. And if you get someone else in it, it always felt with previous England managers, I hoped Hodgson was going to be that guy, but it obviously turned out not to be. But with previous England managers, it always felt like someone kind of being parachuted in. You sort this out. And, and a very old-fashioned English kind of way of doing things. If you look at England, English clubs, football clubs, where they think that manager has to have complete control and do everything, which I understand, you know, can work, but in more continental, the continental approach of the sporting director and so on, try and get that philosophy in and so on. If you if you try and do that, you're going to give yourself that long-term approach and people will understand what they're doing, because England always lacked a plan whenever they go into a tournament and so on. And I there's a lot of variables at international level, but I just think, I think it's a no-brainer to give Southgate the extension.
One of the things he's done, which is perhaps gone a bit under the radar, is he's really repaired the relationship between the England setup and the clubs. Mm-hmm. You don't ever see consternation between which injured player is going to be treated by which physio. I mean, oh, he's got injured on England duty. We don't want to send him back. We want to keep him here to treat him. And the club's saying no. I think he's been very open on that kind of stuff.
Well, he's repaired the relationship with the press, you could say. Yeah. Well, not repaired, but he's sort of got them on side. And look at the fans. The fans are interested in England again.
I think Steve Holland plays a big part in it as
well. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so I have to. I just pop in and say that Chelsea, of course, are playing Southampton this weekend, who are a poor team despite their League Cup efforts. Mark Hughes' Southampton are 9-2 to be relegated with Bet365. And don't worry, I'll keep you well abreast of how those odds change across the season. £10 will return, £55, including the stake. Should they slip down that trapdoor and find themselves facing the Super Pompey in the Championship next season?
There you go.
Hey, give us it now.
Absolutely.
We're top of the league. We won again midweek. Coventry. Maybe,
you might miss
get
them.
Out.
You might. Oh, no. Sorry. League One. I was
are
thinking,
you okay?
I'm not. But I will be once you give us our best bet. We're Bet365.
Well, Andy Duncan. Should we spare a moment's thought again for him? Yeah. Came so close. Mm.
Fine effort.
God
big
bless
shoes
him.
To fill.
Anyway, here he is. Welcome. James Dick.
Lovely.
JD.
Go on, Pete.
JD.
Go on.
What?
James Dick.
Jimmy Dick.
Oh, like a cock. Sorry.
Disrespectful. Yeah. He says, gentlemen, I've been listening to the show for a good couple of years and found it astonishing that nobody has managed to land a three-timer. Mm. Surely it can't be that difficult. Ooh. Well, I'm getting married next week and unfortunately found myself struck down with a bug this week, so have been in bed off work. Here's my thinking. A first win to get me back on my feet, a second win to celebrate the wedding, and a third to top it off on the honeymoon.
Yeah, ooh, nice.
That's my plan. Therefore, I propose my first bet as follows. Burnley take on Huddersfield on Saturday, and 23-20 for them to take home the victory at home to relegation fodder seems too big to me. So that's my selection. Burnley to beat Huddersfield is indeed 23-20. So £50 will return £107.50, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. As you know, you must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, it's begambleaware.org. Good luck, Dicko. Mm.
Good luck, Dickie, baby.
See if any nominative determinism is at play.
Yeah. Big you shout. You see, I can sort of see like the you've been framed kind of groom sort of collapsing, fainting on his wedding day when he realises the second best bet has come in.
What about the one where the guy backflips in and kicks his bride in the head and knocks her out?
Yeah.
I mean, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
About the one where the dog jumps in the paddling pool and the kid falls off the paddling pool?
Yeah, more of that.
Why would you
have
a paddling pool at a wedding?
Kids, isn't it?
Fun wedding. Fun
wedding, back
mate.
Him up, Jim.
And
part
now
of this foul jamboree.
It's time for Going for Gold.
So the heat is on. And the time is right.
I hope it's the long version.
What you would have played our game. People are coming, everyone's trying to be here the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high.
Lord. What
thank
a shame.
Thank you to Jack. You were really upset about that last week.
I wasn't.
The listeners loved how annoyed you were.
Yeah.
I give the people what they want.
He pretended he wasn't, but he was.
You were like a ramble gammon.
Gammon. I do love gammon.
Hello, Jack. I've not had gammon in ages.
Good. Get a bit of pineapple on there.
Once when we were at Luton Airport, I had a piece of gammon and I cut some of the fat off it. Pete turned up and ate the fat.
There we go.
I did, yeah.
That's very on brand for
I don't
you,
know why then. People cut off fat off steaks or gammon.
I do that.
Yeah,
it's enjoyable.
No, normally I wouldn't, but I was, what were we in, a Wetherspoons in an airport?
Yeah.
Oi. It's not important. Come on. We've had the jingle.
The gammon's on. Hello
the pineapple's
Jack.
In.
Time for you to have a pizza pie. Jack.
Yes.
Sorry, there seems to be a paparazzi in the room. All I hear is the click, click. Hello to Jack. Got some good clues for your going for gold. And he's kind of, he's initialised it G4G. Which kind of looks reminds me a little bit of Group 4.
That's what I call it on my notes.
Company, yeah. I was born in Croydon on the 12th of October, 1983. Croydon. Oh, Croydon.
Stop. Go on, I'm going to go with Bobby Zamora.
Incorrect.
Do you know what? That was a good one, that.
Mm. Stop. Jason Punchin.
No. Don't make me laugh. I have made over 200 Premier League appearances for four different clubs, scoring 51 goals.
Ooh.
Stop bad.
Stop. Fraser Campbell.
Incorrect.
That was a good get. I thought you might have. He's from Manchester, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say he's not 35 as well.
I started my career at Chelsea.
That could be anybody.
Could be for anybody.
Stop. Paul Parker.
Incorrect.
No.
35?
Paul Parker?
No.
Who were you going
to
say, Jim?
He needs to wait for the next clue.
Jim, who were you going to say? Just whisper it to me.
Stop it.
I hold the record for most England senior appearances without ever starting a match.
Oh, that's a good bit of trivia, that. I'd like to know who it is. Stop. Can't be Trevor Sinclair, can it?
Incorrect.
No.
You didn't have teeth.
Jim, so you wanted to say is no longer relevant.
Is that right?
he
looks so relaxed, doesn't he? On the 30th of August, at Football Ramble tweeted, if West Ham start a game with me and Andy Carroll up front this season, shall we all just give up watching football?
Stop.
Come on.
It's a throwaway Jermaine Defoe.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't. Yeah.
I don't have anything else, though.
Oh,
stop. Carlton Cole?
It is Carlton Cole!
Well done!
Is so good at this
game! Give him a thing.
So yeah! Do the whole thing.
Jim Campbell! Right.
The one I thought of, the other one would have been Scott Parker.
Oh, yeah. Jim Campbell! Confusing Paul Parker with Scott Parker!
He's still got the right answer, Lucas and me!
Jim Campbell!
So I'm in the lead now, aren't I?
Yeah.
Despite you having already a massive head start.
You've got four, we've got three.
Yeah. I've only got three because one of them was a double.
Jim needs to go away for longer. Jimmy, you
sound
back
like
January
an old drunk in a pub.
Right, I think that's
been a contender.
Well.
Yeah. There we go.
I only hit the bullseye because I was stood next to the board.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I forgot to say before we go is that our shows are now available on Spotify. Ooh. All our shows, The Ramble, On the Continent, all the others. Whoa. If you want to listen to them on Spotify, you now can do. If that's more convenient for you, please go ahead and do so. The Football Ramble on Spotify. Next stop, the world.
Love that. Flipping love that. Well, there we are. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
There it is. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you, mate.
Thank me, and thank you, the good listeners. We'll see you on Monday.
You should hear me try to use Spotify. It's confusing.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.